Hi everyone, welcome to the almost end of season 5 here at the Conscious Kitchen Podcast. It's such an honor to have you here with us on this journey, self-discovering stories and ideas to help us all be better humans. It's been our mission to cook up conscious conversation this season, and we really had a lot of fun doing it. And we brought a really unique guest, as usual, to dive into topics Laura and I might not be specialists in. I'm thrilled today because we have a guest I've been wanting to have on the Conscious Kitchen Podcast for basically 4 years since we first started this. So I'm really honored to talk about animal rights today, a cause that's deeply connected to how I live my life. Animal rights dictates every move I make. If you know me, you know that I live and breathe equality for non-human animals. Animals have so much to teach us. So let's get into it. There are change makers in this world working hard as fuck on issues to create a better world. A lot of us don't know these people, even though I believe they should really be like household names, but they're out there and they're fighting the good fight. So today we're talking to Jennifer Martinez, Senior Marketing Manager of PETA Latino, and she's one of the fiercest voices that I know personally in animal rights. She's part of PETA, the largest animal rights nonprofit in the world, and her outreach division serves Latin America as well as the US in a mission to help stop animal abuse worldwide. So welcome, Jennifer.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm so honored, lady.
Yes, it's such an honor to chat with you. You know, we're going to get to hear about your story, learn about what you're doing. And for us second generation Latinos, we always want to keep our home countries close to our hearts. So let's learn how we can also help.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm so honored. You ladies are so badass.
Awesome. Yes. And so this is the first time Laura and Jennifer get to meet. So we're going to do a nice little deep dive into animal rights and what Jennifer has been up to and how this path kind of started. So tell us about your story. How did you decide you were going to dedicate your life to fighting for animals?
My story started really early on. You know, I traveled a lot with my parents when I was small. So traveling in different countries like Mexico and Spain, Cuba, just seeing like the different conditions of animals in different countries and the treatment, just kind of like shaped my view for animals. I think the first time that I ever made the connection between an animal and eating animals was really early on. One Christmas for Noche Buena. It's like really traditional for my family to have lechon for Noche Buena. It's traditional for them to buy live pigs and to slaughter them. And I think the first interaction of that just really shaped my mind. And I went vegetarian very early on. And I knew from a very early age that I wanted to help animals, but I wanted to do it in a big way. I wanted to change legislation for them. I wanted to change people's views on culture, because there's so many things that are hidden under that umbrella of this is culture, this is where we come from, this is what we do. And it's long coming for us to change these things and not to hide behind those views anymore. So yeah, I think Liz, for you, it was something similar.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think as we all just get older, we start questioning everything that we do. And then we look around and we're like, am I living the type of life that I want to feel honorable about, or that I feel is truly connected to all my views? So yeah, I love that perspective, and just that you became vegetarian at such an early age. I always admire those people that made that connection when they were young, because there's so much going on. There's like, you're a teenager and you have raging hormones, and how do you end up thinking about animals, you know? So that's admirable for sure.
How old were you, Jennifer, when you first, like the age you figured that out for yourself?
I was 9. It was the first time that I was ever really allowed in the backyard when my dad had like brought these pigs over, and I played with the pigs, and I was just like, I can't believe pigs are so cute. Like, they remind me of all our dogs. And my dad was like, they're all so smart. And like, it was days playing with them, and then they were slaughtered, and I just like didn't understand. And I just remember like sitting at the table and talking to my grandmother about it, and she was like, this is what animals were made for. And I was like, I don't think anybody is made for this. Like, how can you justify that? And it was the beginning of questioning a lot of things in my life, and questioning a lot of treatments, and connecting these animals to like these products and these byproducts that were not just in food but in clothing. I think growing up in Mexico, I also got a lot of like interaction with animals in terms of like going to the market, seeing a lot of live animals that were sold for food. It wasn't just like packaged food. So also after seeing all of that, that one Noche Buena, I think I started to just view things really differently when it came to like my food and also like the animals in my house. Like, why did my dog and my cat have different treatments than like the animals that were used for food? So it was very early on, and, it was also like seeing the different treatment as we moved from country to country, because it does vary, but it's still, you know, they're being slaughtered at the end of the day. And it's just like, I think for me, it was reaching a point of, yes, I can go vegetarian and I can go vegan, but what can I do to spread awareness to my community? And how can I like expand on that message so it's not just animals being used for food, it's other animals? Because there's just so much cruelty when we think about these countries.
And you've been with PETA Latino now for how long?
I've been with PETA Latino for 9 years, and with PETA for 10 years. I interned for PETA too, and I just loved the work that we did, and I wanted to make it into a career. Like, I think of people who choose careers, and I don't think I could have gone any other route, because it just gives me strength every day to know that we are changing the world, that one person does matter, your voice matters, your choices matter, everything that you do matters.
Love that. You know, I know you work a lot with your community, and just, you know, what are some ways that we can start and be more effective in the animal rights in 2023? And what are some ways that we could like utilize our community around us to get on board and to help support?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person and like the way that you define action, because I think at some points in my life, I've been more vocal online, and I found that more effective. And then I've had points in my life where I've wanted to go out to demos, and I've wanted to meet people, and I've wanted to build community that was outside of Instagram or Twitter. But I think a really good resource is Instagram and social media in general, just in terms of applying pressure and using your voice to not just spread awareness, but to also pressure companies and industries that are abusing animals. I think some of our greatest victories, at least for me personally, have been like when we had thousands of people leave the Miami Seaquarium comments, and they had to turn off their comments, which hurt their engagement on Instagram, and it helped us to apply the pressure that we needed at the time for our campaign. So I think that's helpful. I think going out to demos with orgs, not just PETA, but whatever local orgs that are out there in your area, I think that's extremely helpful. I know, like in Miami, we have a Miami Seaquarium demo every single Sunday, and it's held by a different org than PETA, and I go there a lot. But I think building on those connections and those people that show up for those events and looking for the events, and, you know, sometimes we talk about getting tired because there's so many things that need our attention on a daily basis. There's so many issues, and social media can also be a place that drains you because everything's calling out to you every day. And you're just like, I'm just one person, but one comment a day helps.
Yeah.
Talking to someone on the comment section that is pushing for the same issues that you're pushing, whether that's animal rights, human rights, whatever you feel passionate about, that helps. I think it's just so important that people understand that there's nothing you can do that is too little, because it all matters.
Yeah, I love what you said. You know, yeah, meaning like start small, celebrating your wins. And I loved how you said, just, you know, even speaking with someone with that one comment, that's going to be so important. You know, we don't need all this validation. We just need just one person to connect with an organization, as you mentioned, or just starting small in the community. That's very helpful. Thanks.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we all get bogged down on like, well, I'm not doing enough. Like, I'm not creating like these big, massive waves. But sometimes you don't realize that by even sharing one of these things, reposting it to your story within your small community, it's like you're reaching people that trust you and your perspective. And by sharing something and a perspective that might help them learn something new is actually really valuable. Because yeah, it might be three people that ask you about it, but now those three people are thinking about it in a different way. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely like, just start small, do whatever you can do, and like Jennifer said, it's like every action matters
so much. On some occasions in some campaigns that I've had throughout my career that I've felt deflated because I think this is not moving quick enough, we can't get these animals out of this situation, I turn to social media and I turn to people to help us put pressure on companies or on whatever the facility that needs putting pressure on. And there's so many people that come out and leave comments, and that will flood these Instagram accounts, and that will help bring awareness to the issues. And it just goes to show, like, your one comment is not just like motivating you or helping spread awareness, but it's motivating all of the other people who maybe log on to social media and want to do something, want to use it as a source of helping other people, helping animals, spreading awareness. It's such a tool.
Yeah, it's to be used as a tool. We talk about social media here a lot on the Conscious Kitchen podcast and just how it can be misused. And I'm such a big advocate because I really understand the two opposite spectrums of, yes, it's all about consumerism and comparison and things like that. But there's also so much good that's come out of social media, like the social awareness. And even still today, it's like we wouldn't be knowing so many things about Ukraine if it wasn't for social media. It's like that just wouldn't be on our minds because we just wouldn't be seeing it as much. So it's a definitely a powerful tool to use, and use it as that something like for change, something to inspire, not just something to, you know, show your butt selfies. No hate, but you know.
Yeah.
You know, show the butt selfies if they
help animals.
Help out. Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I would love to know, like, Jennifer, like, you know, using social media as a tool, as Liz mentioned, that you're such like a prominent voice. So, and like, tell us, like, what do you think your voice is, and how can someone find a voice for animal rights or to support an organization that could help them have the confidence or for something like that, like not knowing what their voice is? How did you find yours?
think it just comes from passion. What do you feel passionate about? What do you want to fight for? Because it's so difficult. There's so many things that I feel passionate about. But when it comes to animals, I've always had deep sensitivities towards them. And I think that has always driven my need for action. And that's whether it's on social media. Sometimes I need to get out there and I need to make a sign and I need to go to an event and I need to scream a little bit at Miami's aquarium or whatever facility. But I think it's passion. It comes down to where is your heart? What do you fight for? Because we have to put up a fucking fight for the things that we love. We have to. I think that drives not just our work, but I always tell people it's not about what I do. It's about who I am.
Perfect.
So I think animal rights. Yeah, it was just my calling. And I do believe everyone really does have a calling and we all have things that we feel passionate about. And Laura, it is about finding your confidence because sometimes we feel like we're not enough and we're more than enough.
Yeah, I feel like even you could even start in something like, is there something that you think is wrong that's happening in the world? And maybe even seeing if that's something that you feel passionate about to maybe make a change or a wave within, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. And I think, Liz, it's going back to what you were talking about, using social media as a tool to find those passions and find people that you can connect with. Because I think community, when it comes to issues and when it comes to fighting, I think community is very important. I think feeling supported and having people that understand you and are fighting for the same things is very important.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I'd love to chat with you about vivisection. So tell us about what vivisection is for those listeners who don't know what that issue is, and tell us about how PETA Latino has started new vivisection campaigns in Peru and Mexico.
Yeah, so vivisection essentially is animal testing. So this can mean anything from poisoning to shocking to burning and killing animals all day is basically the work of vivisectors. So in laboratories across the U.S., in the world, millions of animals are mutilated, they're poisoned, they're deprived of food and water, they're infected with painful and deadly diseases and burned for the sake of science. And it's joke science, basically. So we have a couple of campaigns going on right now, but one of our newest campaigns is for swim test in Latin America, specifically in Mexico and in Peru. So we're targeting a couple of universities in Yucatan, universities all over Mexico. There's 7 different ones for swim tests. So essentially what they're doing is that they have mice and they have rats and they drown them in tubes and they see how long they can swim, which is not very long. And these mice and these rats are scared literally to death until they die. So PETA is putting pressure on the universities. And this is one of our campaigns that we have started to target them on social media. So we're targeting them on Instagram. And we are asking our followers to also take action on the action alert on petalatino.com. And we are talking to one of the universities so far, but we know that we will get this banned in all 7 of the universities. And that's just a start. Because one thing we don't do is give up. And the other thing we do is we win.
I love that.
We do. We don't give up. PETA will never give up. The more that you tell us no, the harder that we fight.
It's so true. And that's why, like, PETA to me is one of the animal rights, like, organizations that just gets shit done. No one accomplishes the things that they're able to accomplish because they are relentless and they will do whatever it takes. And so that's great. You know, I am always shocked that there's just so many things around the world that still happen. And you're like, wait, this is like 2023. How long have you been doing this? Like, we have self-driving cars and you're still testing on animals, like, in the most stupid ways that make no sense. Like, why do you want to know how long a rat can swim? How is that going to help you? Do you want to know that about humans? You could just pay some volunteers and have them as part of a test study and accomplish what you need. But they want to take the cheap route. They don't want to, like, pay for tests for they don't want to use humans, right? They just want to use these animals that are cheap to get and easy to continue to procreate. And yeah, animal testing is beyond one of the craziest things that still occurs. I mean, it's happening here in the United States at universities. They test on beagles, like, those are dogs that some of you have in your house. Somewhere there's a beagle being tested on. Like, that doesn't seem right, you know?
Definitely not right.
Yeah. So another really ridiculous and archaic thing that I want to talk about that still happens in the name of culture, since we talked about things that happen in the name of culture, is bullfighting. And Laura, you'll know about this because this is, like, you know, in Spain, it's so prominent there. It's, like, such a part of the culture. Yeah. Jennifer, just tell us about how PETA Latino has helped with bullfighting and what are some of the most helpful things that we can do to just help this particular archaic issue.
Bullfighting is one of my most hated issues, because it is going back to one of those traditions that people want protected under culture, and it shouldn't be protected. It's a bloodbath, no matter what country it's happening in. Bulls are constantly pumped with adrenaline. They're pumped with tons of drugs before they enter the arena. This is not a fair fight. There is no consent from the bull, and they are attacked not just by men with swords, but by other horses that are also injured in the bullfights. And this is not just something that happens in Spain. It's still happening in Mexico. It's happening in Colombia. It's happening in Peru. I think a lot of the misconception with this is that people think that it's a one-time thing that happens in Pamplona once a year, and they don't realize it's happening all year round to hundreds, thousands of bulls. It's one of the bloodiest sports out there, and people know what they're getting into when they're buying tickets to these functions. We have been working with other animal rights orgs, both in Spain. We've been working with them in Mexico, in Colombia, in Peru. We've been making a lot of noise lately. We have been doing countless demos. We have also been working on legislation to change the bans. Right now, what we're seeing is a lot of the bullfighters and a lot of these orgs that work for them are trying to protect themselves with the law by protecting bullfighting as an art, essentially. So protecting it under culture as art, saying you can ban this because this is part of our culture and it should be protected. So we are going and we are fighting that with these other orgs as well as PETA. And we are applying pressure in Spain, in Mexico, and in Colombia. So far, we have 5 states that we've won in Mexico, and that we are hopeful that the rest of the country is going to follow. Right now, we are working towards Mexico City, so that would be a big win. But we did win in Quintana Roo. We're also applying a lot of pressure in the rest of Colombia because Bogota has a ban on bullfighting right now. But yeah, we have a lot of action alerts on the website if anybody wants to take direct action. We also if you want to join us on Instagram to apply pressure on some of the bullfighters, we are also doing that. And we invite everyone to come out to our demos. We're doing them once a month in each of the countries. And we're about to start a demo tour for Colombia and for Mexico so that they can see more of us. But we are working really hard with the bullfights just because it's just some of the most horrible footage you can ever see.
Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what Laura thinks, or what, like, I guess our generation of people think about bullfighting in Spain now.
Right. I mean, I lived across the street from one of the biggest bullfighting rings in Spain, in Madrid. And it's just, I don't even mean to talk. I mean, I am going to just talk shit about it. But, like, people that go to these types of events are very posh, very white, privileged Spaniards that have a very right-wing type of stand on politics here. Madrid's very conservative. And none of my community of friends have actually gone to any of these bullfights. I mean, a lot of my friends are expat Americans and they haven't gone. And I mean, if they have gone, I mean, I would definitely, every time I say, I'm like, I don't support bullfights. I would, you know, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just like a crazy chaotic scene, and I just still can't believe that still goes on here, because it's very deep rooted into the culture here, very 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 deep rooted, yeah, as an art, as a mythological form of art. And it's just, it's gross, and we definitely don't support that, and any of my friends that do here in Spain don't support that as well either.
Do you think when you used to see people going in, was it a lot of older people, or was there also young people as well? Like,
yeah,
all kinds of
ages in Spain. I mean, it's been around for so long, you know, it's like the medieval ages, you know, so it has to do with something about what my teacher said. It's something to do with the mythological, as Jennifer mentioned, it's like mythological arts. You know, it's like art and culture and the energy between the bullfighter and the bull, which is bullshit.
Right.
So I really hope that things change, because I think the generation now, I don't know anyone in my inner circle or even friends of friends that go to bullfights here in Madrid. So I hope it will end soon.
And hopefully, like, these issues get more of recognition. And I know that there's, like, that really big protest that happens with the people that, like, pour the blood on themselves. Like, I love that demonstration. It's so powerful. It's definitely one of, like, my favorite ones that people do to just bring awareness. And then, I mean, I just would love to know, you know, for my Colombian Americans, it's like, that's my community. I need y'all to show up. how can maybe people like me that are, I'm in LA, but I want Colombia to ban bullfighting, like, how, beyond signing the action alerts, what else can I do, and what are some things that they can do that I can maybe encourage my cousins to do, or, you know, just how can people that are here in the US encourage their family there to kind of make change happen?
I think it starts by spreading awareness, which is something both of you are already doing. Joining the demos, we have demos all over Colombia. We're going to have a demo tour, so more bodies, the better. Showing up, showing faces, like building community, spreading awareness, sharing all of the campaigns that we're doing, that other orgs are doing. And I think really just placing yourself in opposition to what's happening is really helpful. I know we talk about bullfighting as being this, like, archaic thing, but so many people support it and so many people pay so much money because it's also a status thing. It's so expensive to get seats to one of these things. Like, you really have to want to go to spend that kind of money. And I think those people need awareness and they need some talking to.
So basically opening those conversations, so when you're at dinner with one of those people, fuck it, just talk about it. ruffle some feathers, you know.
Ruffle some feathers. Well-behaved people never made history. Like, please go out for the things that you believe in and have those uncomfortable conversations, because they are uncomfortable conversations, but they still need to, you know, you need to have them.
Yes.
Jennifer, with so many different key issues, it's very overwhelming, as we mentioned, from animal testing to going vegan and also protesting local and foreign issues. How does one find and focus on the key issues that matter to them most?
I think I keep going back to what I said about passion. I think when it's something that you're passionate about, and you know, that might be bullfighting in Colombia because you're Colombian, or that might be the universities using mice for vivisection in Peru. Whatever you feel passionate about, just do that. Just work on that. You don't need to take the entire world on.
Yeah.
Because this one thing that you feel passionate about will make the difference. And again, there's no small thing that you can do.
Yeah.
Everything is big in its own way.
Yeah.
It's just getting started, getting motivated.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I mean, when I was 12 years old, I stopped eating beef and pork since I was 12. And then it ricocheted into different types of vegetarianism. And then I also was thinking like, wow, like, why am I only caring about this? Like, this also can get more rooted into what I wear and even makeup, making sure my makeup is, you know, cruelty free. So, I mean, it can even just start there too, just like being more conscious of just even the makeup you're using or the products, like, you know, even just the small things that you're using, like just start there too, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Question everything is my life's motto.
Nothing and give them hell always.
And so Jennifer, where do you see things evolving in the next 10 years with animal rights? You know, I know you mentioned demos, also social media, but with things like rapidly changing with the metaverse and, you know, Web3, where do you see things going and for animal rights?
I love this question because it always takes me to the same place. And I think that just is what I align with. But I think over the next 10 years, the big jump that we're going to see is with animals being used in entertainment. I think since Blackfish, Last Dolphin King just came out, Tiger King, I think these type of issues we're going to see a big change. We're going to see parks closing. We're going to see animals being sent to sanctuaries. We're going to see more rehabilitation centers for the animals that have been suffering, like Lolita, like Tilly. I think, in the next 10 years, that's what we're going to see more of, as well as, veganism being more mainstream, because I think it's the same for y'all, but like, I have been in Miami, like I lived in LA before Miami and then Chicago, and 10 years ago I couldn't go to Publix or Sedano's or any of like the Latino markets, and I could not find any vegan food. And now I'm like, you have an entire aisle. Like, my grandma's favorite products, you have them, and they're so vegan. Cool. And I think we're going to be seeing in, you know, our neighborhoods, like, fully vegan restaurants.
Yeah.
I think meat and dairy is going to be a thing of the past.
Man, you guys in the U.S. are so in the future. Spain in general, so we go to the markets, there's like one vegan cheese here, you know, so it's like... Yeah. And how do you guys feel? How do both of you guys feel about FDA approving on the new cultured meat being lab safe? Yeah. and safe to eat, the new cultured beef and lab grown meat? How do you guys feel about that?
I'm down for lab grown meat. I'm not going to be consuming it myself. I just don't have like the taste buds for lab grown meat. I don't feel like I need to eat it, but I think that it's a good innovative option for people that want to make more sustainable, thoughtful choices, but still want to consume meat. It feels like an interesting innovation. And I hope people will, I don't know, get into it and maybe try it out and see if it's for them. I mean, I definitely vote lab grown meat versus a cow suffering. So that's definitely like my thoughts. What about you, Jennifer?
Yeah, I feel the same. I've never been much of a mock meat person. It's just like too close for me. I don't like it. I don't want it. However, eat it all day if it means you don't eat animals. But I think the science behind it, it's so interesting. And I love it because we're seeing more options like mushroom meat, and we're seeing mushroom leather and cactus leather and leather made from tea waste and like all of these other materials. So I think the more that evolves, the more that we can evolve for other things like like fashion materials that don't use animals.
Right. And yeah, we're just at the craziest tipping point of the planet. It's like the climate needs to go complete reverse with the times 10 speed. So I think all this innovation has to start, melting in soon, melting in and cultivating within our own culture. I mean, yes, it's going to be more expensive, but I mean, it says here 150 cultivated meat companies around the world, backed by several billions of dollars investments, according to the Good Food Institute. So I think it's going to start coming in waves, and hopefully we can see more of those, you know, our packaged meat be more, you know, maybe cultured meat friendly, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think it really is just going to take people getting past the way that they think about meat, right? That it's like, oh, it's grown in the lab. But there's so many things that people do now that I am surprised by. Like, I mean, surrogacy is one of those things that I'm always like, huh, I'm surprised that people just quickly so switched over to like adopting kids to just having surrogate babies, like, and that became so widely accepted. So I think as things just start happening, and as people just start trying, and the opportunities are put in their face, then things just kind of grow. But innovation, it's time for innovation, because otherwise we're going to be climate refugees. We all are in our generation. We're going to feel it. And we definitely need to stop acting like, you know, we're living on this endless resource, little beautiful earth. So,
yeah, as they said, lab grown food will soon destroy the farming and save the planet. So Hopefully within a few years, several years, not decades, right?
Right. Yeah, for sure.
I don't think we have a choice anymore. Like, we have to pay attention because every choice matters. We don't get to say that this doesn't matter. Like, it matters more than ever. We only have one planet.
Yes. Thank you, Jennifer.
So we just can't keep living in denial. We definitely just have to, like we said, question everything and really push to make better choices today, tomorrow, every single day. I wanted to give people a few more things to be able to help here within the US and then their home countries. And I think that this is in Latin America in particular, I think that this is an issue that people kind of just see as being normal, and which is like having like dogs like on the rooftops of like houses, and they're just kind of like guard dogs. And I know I've always used to see this in Colombia, and it's just widely just accepted. How can we call our tías or like our cousins and have that conversation in a loving, encouraging, nice way to encourage them to maybe bring their dogs in? Or how can we just help educate people on that?
I think with dogs on roofs, it's just a matter of talking to people and having the conversation and not backing down, because at that point the dog can jump off of the roof and die. It's just, and we see it every day in and day out. And you know, it's the same problem that we have with like dogs left in backyards in the US, that people are like, he's a dog, she's a dog. They don't need anything. I need them to guard my house. I need them to protect me. And they don't need much. And it's like, no, they are very much pack animals. They need families. They need to be indoors. They need to be protected from the weather. And I think sometimes with our families, it's kind of hard to address those things because it's so embedded in them and in, you know, the ways that they think. But I'm a firm believer in never being rude and always smiling when I make a point. And I think you can have those conversations without being offensive, and just kindly reminding people that animals are not things, and that they're not objects, and that they don't consent to being treated this way and to living their lives this way. You wouldn't want to live on a roof your entire life. Why would your dog?
Yeah, do you have a moment, do you have like a story where you try to advocate to something about with like a family member and how it went, to just for an example for us?
Yeah, I don't have like a family member, like something with a dog and a family member, but I did travel in Bacalar. I think it was a year ago, and it's very rural. It's in Quintana Roo. It's like 2 hours away from Tulum. And I had a family that I knocked on their door because they had these little chihuahuas on the roof that were barking at people coming close to their door. And they looked like they were about to jump off. And I think with like that particular family, they were like, they would never jump off. They're not dumb. Like, they're very smart. They protect my house. And I showed them videos of cases that we've had and videos on YouTube of dogs jumping off, not because they're dumb or anything, but because of circumstance. Sometimes something may happen. They see another dog, they see an animal. Whatever the case might be, it happens all the time, or they slip and they fall off. So I think it's talking to people. And sometimes people are not very willing to listen to you because they feel very attacked. So for this one case, it was like I came back for my entire vacation for like the 5 days that I was there, and I was very nice. And I actually still have the woman on Instagram. She talks to me all the time, and her dogs are not on the roof anymore. But it was like the consistency with her and also being polite, because sometimes people just don't know any better. We can't assume that they're being evil, or, you know, I myself ate me. I have a photo in the Miami Sea Aquarium. I have swum with dolphins. I didn't know better. And now because I know better, I do better. But if somebody doesn't know better, it's not their fault. So I think it's on us to educate people and to bring awareness, but to be understanding and be polite. And when it comes to family, maybe a little more, because sometimes it's a little rougher when it's your family, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little harder to bring those things up.
Yeah. You communicated that really well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I love that you were committed. And that's what I love about Jennifer, that she's like, she's so committed to... She's just committed. And during her vacation, she made that time and just showed up and set that time aside to talk to someone. And I get what you mean by sometimes it's hard for people to, because we're tourists in like their place and they're like, who is this person? Like, they don't get it, you know? So lead like with kindness, compassion. And yeah, I love that you said that. It's like all of us, literally all of us have made decisions that we would not stand by today in the past. And why you don't make those decisions further is because they don't align with who you are. So just kind of treat everyone like that as well, with that compassion that they, like you said, they don't know any better. And so it's just give them that opportunity to grow and yeah, help animals here and in your home countries and all around the world. There are things happening that you would be shocked by. Wool, does it come from happy sheeps? You know, animals are getting tested on. There are dogs that are chained outside all throughout America in 0-degree weather with no food, that don't even get fed like at all. These things are happening in our country as well. Animals being used at Miami's places like Miami Sea Aquarium, where they're being starved so that they'll perform better. There's so many different issues that you can get involved in. Go on PETA Latino, go on PETA, expose yourself to these causes that you can maybe help. And I know it's going to be hard. It's going to hurt your heart, because it always does, but don't live in ignorance. We have to make these changes. So yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Jennifer. Is there anything else you want to leave us with? Like any little tidbits of inspiration or any issue that you really want to see get those airwaves for 2023?
I think, yeah, please use your voices. Don't ever think that your voice doesn't matter, or the one thing that you can do on a Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday doesn't matter. It all matters. So use your voice. take action on the action alerts, show up to the demos, show up to the events, reach out to people in your community to get the support that you need, because it can be deflating sometimes when, you know, we feel like we're not making the change that we want to see in the world. But change happens throughout time, and those small little nuggets that you're putting in every single day matter, and it's gonna amount to so much by the time that we see things, you know, evolve. But yeah, I think you ladies are amazing, and thank you for all of the work that you do and like all of the issues that you bring awareness to. I think it's so good to have a space where I can come and see two people making a difference and touch upon so many subjects that are so sensitive and need awareness and need more people like both of you to, you know, shed light on.
Thank you so much. Yes. We try to cover it all up. And you guys, thank you for the work that you do. We're honored that you're here on the Conscious Kitchen podcast. And, you know, go ahead and follow her. What's your Instagram? What's your Instagram social? People can stalk you, babe.
Well, YME Fact and Official Pita Latino. Follow that one.
Perfect. Yeah. And so if this podcast resonated with you today, you guys go ahead and feel free to share it with someone right now. Share it with your friends overseas. Share it with a friend that, you know, is thinking about learning more about PETA and all their amazing causes. Share it with them right now.
Yes. And if you want to learn more about animal rights in general, there's just so many resources on the internet. And if you want to chat with someone about animal rights in specific, hit our Calendly on our website and we can chat. I'll give you a little 101 on all kinds of ways that you can help animals and just different things that you can do. But we love you, Conscious Kitchen fam. We're almost at the end of the season. We have a really exciting update coming for you, something that we're doing for the podcast that we've never done. And season 6 is going to be dope.
Yeah. And check out our link. If you feel like this podcast resonated with you, you can buy us a coffee. All right, guys. We'll have a good rest of your week. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for all the work you do. You're an angel on earth. And we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Yes. Thank you. Bye.